Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
It seems like blessings keep falling in my lap.
Something interesting started to happen to me. I started to develop some pretty significant pain on the inside of both my arms, and on this arm, it was even some in the forearm as well. And it hurt a lot. I've been lifting weights with a buddy of mine for about 6 months to a year, and so I thought maybe I just hit a spot where I was lifting too much, and so you know, I just needed a break. I just needed a rest. And it just so happened that Danny and I were going to go on a vacation, and I wasn't going to work out for like 8 or 10 days, because who works out on vacation? Freaks, that's who. Nobody else but freaks, and I'm not a freak. And so I was not going to work out on vacation. And so we went on our vacation, and it didn't get better. And if anything, it got worse. When I tried to pick up luggage, when I tried to do anything, I mean, it hurt so bad. So, you know, I've got a lot of buddies here who are doctors, and I talked to a couple of them, and I was talking to one buddy about, hey man, what do you think's going on? And I was like, do you think I've strained something? I've pulled it. And he looked at me and goes, well, it's not going to make any sense, and you're not going to really believe me, but I think it has more to do with your back and your shoulders than it has to do with your arms. And so if you'll come see me, you know, I'll do some things, and we'll see if we can't straighten it out. And so he started treating me and started teaching me some things, and it started getting better. And one of the things we talked about more than anything else was my posture. And what I learned was, whenever I actually had a proper posture, you know, which everybody knows is shoulders up, shoulders back, head high, you know, we all know it. When I began focusing on my posture, like, I literally could feel like the blood rushing back to my elbows. And to these muscles right here, because what had basically happened, pretty much my entire life, I've had a bad posture. I just do, you know, I kind of walk hunched over like this, and I don't know why, I just do it. And so what was happening is, like, in my brain, the way I imagine it is that there were some hoses on my back, and anytime I would have bad posture, it was like it was pinching everything that was supposed to go to my arms. But when I would actually get up straight, get back, stand straight, it was like those hoses would open, and what needed to flow back could go. And I've been doing that now for a few months, and it's gotten so much better. I mean, there's still a little bit of residual pain. I think I did a little damage, and so we've got to still work on that. But I never understood the importance of a proper posture. I never understood the healing power of having the right posture. And when I actually began to really focus on my posture and to make sure it was right and proper, my body was able to do what it was designed to do. The healing was there. The right things were there. I was just cutting it off. And the reason I tell you that story is because, as we pick up on where we left off last week talking about hashtag blessed, what I really want us to talk about today is our posture. Because your posture has more power in your life than you've ever imagined. Now, before we go forward, let's go back. If you missed last week, this is a 3-week series called Hashtag Blessed. And I encourage you, if you missed last week, to go visit this website, wellspringchurch.tv/blessed. You can catch up on where we were, because we're going to keep moving today. But real quick, if you were here last week, you know we talked about the fact that a blessing is a benefit. A blessing is a benefit. It's something we get from God to be enjoyed. And here's a really cool thing about God's blessings. You can benefit before you believe. Every one of us in this room are blessed. We all receive blessings from God. We all get benefits from God. There are all things that, because God exists, our lives are better because of them. But we talked about last week, okay, well, if that's true, then what's the benefit of belief? Then why do we want to believe if God's already going to bless us? And what we talked about last week is that the blessings get better. And that's where I want to pick up today. I want to pick up with these better blessings, because if you did what I asked last week, if you were here last week and you heard what I asked everybody in the room to kind of go home and to spend some time this week counting your blessings. That was all. I just want you to ask God to make you aware of the benefits in your life, of the blessings in your life, of the good things that He's given you. And I hope you did that. If you didn't, do it right now. Just start thinking about all the benefits, all the blessings that you have in your life. You'll probably think about, you know, your family. If you have a family, you'll think about your friends. If you have Friends, I would hope you would consider, you know, coming to this place, and the community you have here is a blessing in your life. Maybe it's your skills and traits that you have that allow you to make a living. You know, maybe it's your boss. Maybe he's a blessing. Or maybe you wish God would bless your boss with a transfer. I don't know. I don't know what you wish. I don't know. I don't know. But I want you to think about all the blessings, all the benefits you have in your life. Specifically, if you consider yourself a Christian, all the things God's given you. If you don't consider yourself a Christian, still, like we said last week, all the good things in your life, we believe, are benefits from God. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I just want to talk to you very briefly. Today we're going to talk about the better benefit of why we believe we should become a Christian. So even if you're not a Christian today, I hope you'll lean in. I hope you'll listen. Because basically what we're describing is the other side of faith. You know, right now you're on this side of faith. You're not sure you believe. You're not sure you trust. It's scary. You still have questions. And listen, every one of us in the room were where you were at one point. Every single one of us. And eventually we got to the place where we changed our mind and we crossed over and we placed our faith in Jesus. And so what I'm going to be painting a picture for you today is why you would want to do that. What's better on the other side? And in fact, I'm not even going to try to paint a picture. I'm going to let Jesus paint the picture for you because he's Jesus and I'm not. He's better at it than I am. And in his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, the sermon that everybody loves, whether you like Jesus, you don't like Jesus, whether you believe in Jesus, you don't believe in Jesus, you love the things he teaches in the Sermon on the Mount. That's where he teaches things like to love your enemy. That's where he teaches to turn the other cheek. It's where he teaches the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And he begins the entire sermon talking about blessings, specifically describing people and situations that he considers blessings. So what I want to do is I'm going to let Jesus speak for himself about blessings. And as I read this list, I want you to begin thinking, at any point in this last week, did any of these things happen to you? And did you consider any of them blessings? If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5. This verse is recorded. If not, it's going to be up on the screen. Here's what Jesus says. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Poor in spirit. Okay, God. All right. I got you. Poor in spirit is a blessing. Okay. He keeps going. He says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Okay. I didn't mourn this week, but I guess I kind of see how that could be a blessing, Jesus. Okay. Blessed are those who mourn. Okay. What else? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The meek. Humble people. And they're like, Jesus, when are we going to talk about the parking spots? When are we going to talk about the stuff? He's like, I'll get there, but blessed are the meek. He keeps going. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Okay, all right, so I'll get righteousness. Okay, good. What else? He says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Jesus says, isn't really what we talked about all week. Where's the stuff, man? Like, where's the good job and the family? You know, what are we talking? He's like, hey, we'll get there. But blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown great, I will get mercy. That's a good benefit. I don't really do a lot of bad things, but if I do, I would like to have some mercy. Please keep going. Jesus is like, okay, I got more to say. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Okay, pure in heart. What else? Jesus, this better get good. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children. Okay. All right, okay, so I'll get a label. When does the stuff happen? Like, where's the benefit for me? And Jesus is like, oh, no, I'm not even done. Wait for this one. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And everybody goes, wait, what? I'm going to be persecuted? And it's a blessing? Jesus is like, yeah, I'm not even done. He says, blessed are you when people insult you, when they persecute you, and when they falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. People are going to lie about me. People are going to mock me. People are going to insult me. And it's supposed to be a blessing? Jesus is like, yep. In fact, here's what he says. He says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, be honest. Did any of you this week have anybody yell at you, mock you, lie about you, persecute you, and say, you know what, I am hashtag blessed? No. But here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you are. You are blessed. Now, what is he actually saying? What's actually happening here? That's really what I want to talk about today. Because yes, there are times, there are moments where we get things from God, and they are blessings. Those things are. But there's a better blessing. There's a better benefit that Jesus is trying to explain to us through these teachings. If you grew up in church, we call these the Beatitudes. And here's what he's really saying. He's saying those things aren't blessings, but those people are blessed. He's saying, no, you missed the point. It's not the thing. It's the one who gives the thing. And all these people, when they're going through those moments aren't the blessing. The fact that God walks with you through the moment is the blessing. What I'm really trying to teach you today, and what I have been wrestling with for months, and what I pray can really begin to just kind of transform you today, is this overwhelmingly simple yet powerful truth about blessing. And it's this: we are blessed by God's presence, not God's performance. We are blessed. The better blessing is simply the fact that as Christians, we get God in our lives. He is with us. He is for us. And what Jesus is saying in this passage is he's saying, hey, look. When you are mocked, because you will be, when you mourn, because it'll happen, when you feel poor in spirit, when you have to be humble, when you seek those things, I need you to remember that I'm with you, I'm for you, and you are blessed. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to go looking for it. It is a reality. You are in that moment blessed because I am with you. Now, how do we remember that in our lives? Well, that brings us back. The posture. See, I believe many Christians adopt an unhealthy, not even Christians, we all, when bad things happen in our life, when things we can't understand, when we struggle, when we're mocked, when we're persecuted, we adopt a poor posture. And when I had a poor posture, it was cutting off what my body needed to be healthy and to heal. And I believe each and every one of us, every single day, when we adopt a poor posture, we are cutting ourselves off from the presence of God in our lives. Here's what I mean. When bad things happen, there are basically two postures we adopt. The first posture we adopt is we look down. And we look down and we doubt and we question and we kick things. And we feel sorry for ourselves, and we gripe, and we complain, and we say, why is this happening to me? Or we allow shame to come in, we allow guilt to come in, and our entire posture is just down and broken. Well, that doesn't position us to receive what God's trying to say. It's like, no, I'm with you, I'm for you, but we're down. But there's another posture. We start down, but then we do this. We start to look around for somebody to blame, for somebody to compare ourselves to, now wait a minute, God, how come they're getting what they're getting and I'm not? Because I do these things and they don't do those things. Why are you with them? And so we're down and we're looking around and we're blessing. And at no point do we adopt the posture that Jesus is asking us to adopt in this passage. The posture of, no. You don't have to look down. You don't have to look around. I told you, it doesn't matter what's happening in your life. Your circumstances don't determine anything. You're not blessed by your circumstances. You're not blessed by my performance. You're blessed by my presence. But if you want to receive my presence, you have to position yourself by adopting a proper posture. Now, see, I was thinking about this over the last few weeks. I was thinking about this, and I was watching football, because I watch a lot of football. And I was thinking about this, and it occurred to me that there is a position on a football team that is constantly working on their posture and is constantly working on their positioning to make sure they can receive everything that is being given to them. It's the wide receiver. The wide receiver's sole job is to position himself on the field to catch what the quarterback is throwing. And if the quarterback makes a bad throw, the wide receiver doesn't get to go, come on, man, unless he's T.O., then he does that. But everybody else, you move, you position. And I was thinking about it, and I started thinking about, many of you probably saw the Super Bowl last year. Julio Jones made this ridiculously amazing catch near the end of the Super Bowl. Didn't really end up mattering because Patriots won. But he made this amazing, amazing catch. In fact, I have some pictures of it. I mean, look at that. Look at how his entire body is stretched and positioned to make the catch. Look at that. Every single ounce of him is working together to do one thing, to catch that football. And once he catches it, he doesn't let go. He holds on to it. He makes sure he gets his feet in. And then look at this last image. Look at this. Like, that's amazing to me. He's like Superman. But here's what's happening. Here's what's happening. He has one job: to catch what's coming his way. And what Jesus is saying in that passage, he tries to cover it all in good times, in bad times, when things are great, when you're mourning, when you feel like things are happening to you that are unfair, when you feel like people are mocking you, when you feel like the world is against you. You don't have to worry. Read the first word. You are blessed because I am with you. And so if you are not feeling the blessing, if you are not experiencing me in your life, you can be certain I haven't moved. You can be certain I haven't stopped pouring out. What you need to do is you need to look at your posture. And you need to ask yourself, do I have the proper posture towards God in my life? Because here's what I believe Jesus is trying to teach us. He's teaching us that a proper posture positions us to receive all that God is ready and willing to give. A proper posture. He's with you. He's for you. He wants to pour out everything you need onto you. Peace, satisfaction, contentment, wisdom, understanding, all things guaranteed to us by our gracious, loving Heavenly Father. And when you aren't feeling it, when you aren't experiencing it in your life, you can be certain that it's not because God failed on His promise. It's an opportunity to reposition yourselves. To say, I'm not going to settle for anything less than what God's offered to me. So I'm going to position myself. I'm going to change my posture so that I can open myself up to what God wants to give me. Now, how do we know what that is? How do we know what the proper posture is? What does that even look like? Well, lucky for us, there was a man named Paul. And Paul understood what it meant to experience the presence of God in his life, regardless of his circumstances. Paul had an encounter with Jesus that changed his life. In service to Jesus, Paul was beaten. Paul was put in jail. Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was bitten by a snake, which that would have been it for me. I'm out. And in his letter to the church at Philippi, he perfectly explains what a proper posture looks like when it comes to your relationship with God. And I would love to share with you for just a few moments. In Philippians 4, here's what he says. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Now, just stop. If you grew up in church, you've heard that a lot. If you come to Wellspring, we talk about this verse a lot because it's so simple. In fact, it can be almost too simple. You can kind of just move past it. But I just want you to imagine for a moment, just imagine what your life would be like if you truly just decided God was right. Hey, I'm not going to worry about anything. I'm going to pray about everything. Wouldn't it be better? Like, that's not a guilt thing. I'm talking to myself. Wouldn't it be better? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. See, this is a posture discussion. It's a posture discussion. He says, hey, take your eyes off the ground. Take your eyes off other people. Put your eyes on the one place where the person can actually solve the problem. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's done. And look what happens. Then you will experience God's peace. You will experience the better blessing. You will experience the benefit of belief. Because it's God's peace which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, be honest, isn't that what we all want? Don't we just want some peace? I know dads do, like about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. Like, I just want some peace and quiet. Just stop. I don't care where you are. Freeze. Is that just me? I guess it's just me. We have that talk in my house. It's 8 p.m., boys. House is closed. Go to your quarters and retire for the evening. Because the 24/7 Mama Express of food and care is done. You should try that. It's great. Doesn't work. Doesn't work, but it's fun to say. But no, what Paul is basically tacking on to what Jesus was saying. Because what Jesus is trying to say is, man, it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter if it's high, if it's low, if it's good or it's bad. I'm with you. You are blessed. You are blessed because I want to be in your life. And Paul's picking back up and saying, okay, so if bad things are happening and you can't experience it, you don't feel God in your life, you don't feel that peace, you can look at this verse and it says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And say, okay, am I worrying about anything? Am I praying about everything? Am I turning my eyes to God? And what he's really saying is, the first posture change you need to make is to begin to adopt a posture of prayer. A posture of prayer. Not moments of prayer, but a lifestyle of prayer. A lifestyle of saying, God, I'm going to come to you first. When things happen that are great, when things happen that I don't understand, I'm coming to you because you are the one who guarantees to be with me. You say I'm blessed at all times. You're going to bless me with your presence. You're going to bless me with your peace. And so I want to come to you for everything. I need a posture of prayer, but there's two changes we need to make. And Paul's actually already told us the second one, but we kind of skipped over it. But we need to adopt a posture of prayer. But let's go back to the first verse. Look what he says. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. It's not just a prayer. It's a praise. Sometimes when things are going so wrong, we simply need to remind ourselves that our God is so right. When we think things are bad, we need to be reminded that our God is good. That our God is faithful. That our God is loving. That our God sent his son for us. So what he's really saying is, not only do we need to adopt a posture of prayer, a posture of turning our eyes back to God, of coming to him, coming to the one who can solve it, but as we come back with a posture of praise. We praise God for who he is. We praise God for what he has done. Now, how do we do that? Well, Paul keeps talking. Here's what he says. He says, look, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. I love this word. Fix your thoughts. That doesn't mean like they're broken and you need to fix them. That means set your thoughts. That means focus your thoughts. That means direct your thoughts, your thought life, on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about those things that are excellent and worthy of praise. What if, just what if the next time you're having a bad day? What if the next time your kids are just going cray cray? And you're looking at God like that verse about him being blessings, ha ha. Or if you get bad news in the neighborhood, bad news at work, what if instead of immediately going back to the posture we go to, where we look down and we wallow, or we look around and we compare, what if in that moment you took Paul's advice and you adopted a posture of prayer? In that moment, you turned to God and said, God, I don't know what's going on. This is insane, but you got me into this mess, so you better get me out. I call that the first 5 years of Wellspring Church. I'd yell at him. You got me into this. I loved my job. You better get me out, God. He'd be like, slow your roll, man. It'll be okay. But what if in that moment you could remember, you know what? Okay. God loves me. God's with me. God's for me. God's blessed me. If I'm not feeling it right now, I'm the one that's moved. So I'm going to adopt a posture of prayer. I'm going to pray to him. I'm going to adopt a posture of praise. I'm going to start listing all the good things in my life. Even if I can only find two, I'm going to thank him for those two. What do you think would happen? Do you think you would experience God's presence more in your life? Do you think you'd experience God's peace more in your life? Do you think you'd experience a better blessing? Because that's what Paul says would happen. Look what he says next. He says, keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me. He's like, you got to do this. You got to try this. You got to practice it. Keep putting it into practice. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then, once you do this, once you learn how to do this, once you put this into practice, then the God of peace will be with you. Because he wants to be with you. He created you to be with you. He sent his son to be with you. His son taught that no matter what is happening in your life, good, bad, or in the middle, I am with you, I am for you, I haven't left, I never will. But I think we have a fundamental misunderstanding when it comes to blessing, which was why we're spending so much time on this today. Because here's the reality. We are blessed by God's presence, not God's performance. God in our life is the better benefit. How do we experience that? How do we get the most out of that? It's simple. A proper posture positions us to receive all that God is ready and willing to give. Now, I know what you're thinking. What's your tray? That's easy to say. You're the preacher. That's easy to say. You're on stage. That's easy to say for all of us. But what about when stuff really happens? Come on, man. You really expect me to pray? You really expect me to praise when bad things happen? Not me as much as Jesus. He expects it to happen. He expects you to sing. He expects you to pray. And it's funny. Last week, we sang a song that we're actually going to close with today. Super old. We used to sing it when me and TJ and Eric and all of us were back in college. It's called Blessed Be Your Name. It was written by a guy named Matt Redman and his wife. Here's the cool thing about that story, about that song. He wrote that song in the weeks after September 11th. He just needed a way to process his grief and to reposition his posture. So he wrote a song that has been sung the world over, saying, God, no matter what's happening, I know you're with me. I know you are for me. So as we close with that song today, I want you to know that story, and I want you to sing that. But I've actually experienced this in a much more personal way in my life. Some of you know this story. We've talked about it from the stage from time to time. My nephew, his name was Baylor Teal. And in September of 2008, he was diagnosed, he was 5 years old, he was diagnosed with neuroblastoma, which if you're unfamiliar with neuroblastoma, it is an incredibly vicious type of childhood cancer. And by the time he was diagnosed with neuroblastoma, it was already into his bone marrow, it was into his lymph nodes, and the doctors gave this 5-year-old ray of sunshine a 30% chance to live at best. 30%. Now, I mean, this wasn't like coming on. He was fine. He was a little tired. And then bang, 30% chance you're going to live. 70% chance you're gone. Now, Baylor was blessed. Baylor loved Jesus. He had a relationship with Jesus. And so as they told Baylor this and as they processed all this, things moved pretty quickly because, again, the stakes were very high. And so during the very first radiation treatment that my nephew went through, his mom and dad, Rob and Richard, were not allowed in the room with him because it's radiation. And so he's in there getting radiation treatment, but they could see him on a monitor. And his mouth was moving. His lips were moving. And they looked at each other like, man, is he talking? Who is he talking to? And so they turned the volume up to listen to my 5-year-old nephew with terminal cancer, 30% chance to live, getting radiation treatment by himself. They turned the volume up, and he was singing. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. That's a proper posture. I mean, are you kidding me? He's singing? He's praising Jesus in that moment. There's one more story that's my favorite. I mean, this was an ongoing part of Baylor's life. He was just a joy. And the church he and his family attended at the time, their pastor had a bit of a tradition that if you grew up in church, maybe your church did this as well. The pastor would come out and at some point in the sermon, he would say, God is good. And the congregation would go, all the time. And then he would say, all the time. And the congregation would say, God is good. Some of you know it. Well, the first Sunday, Baylor and his family were able to go back to church. Pastor comes out. And it was a smaller church. Everybody knew Baylor. Everybody knew his story. Everybody had talked to him. And the pastor comes out, and at some point he goes, God is good. And there was just like this half a second pause because everybody was struggling with the fact there was a 5-year-old with a 30% chance to live in that moment. But before they could, they all the time, except for one voice. There was one voice who screamed it as loud as he possibly could. In that moment, you guessed it, my 5-year-old nephew with neuroblastoma with a 30% chance to live, that preacher didn't get it out of his mouth. He goes, all the time. And everybody else just kind of went, ugh! And then they cried. I mean, of course they did, right? I mean, we know a proper posture when we see it. We know a proper posture when we experience it. And I can tell you, that little boy was the most blessed human I've ever met. And he was blessed on earth fully and completely right up until the moment that he was healed and he crossed over to spend eternity with his Heavenly Father. I am as sure of that as I am of anything in my life. And I tell you that story because that is why Jesus died for us. That is what he brings to us, to be able, regardless of what is happening, to live blessed, to live like we have access to the God of the universe, because through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we do. So, Wellspring, walk out of here encouraged today. Walk into whatever is coming this week. And remember, we are blessed by God's presence, not God's performance. We are blessed because he is with us. We are blessed because he is for us. And if you don't feel it, if you don't experience it, take a look at your own posture. And remember that a proper posture positions us to receive all that God is ready and willing to give. A posture of prayer and a posture of praise. A posture of prayer and a posture of praise. See, every week when we gather, every week we are trying to correct your posture. We're trying to point you back, not to me, not to us, but to your Heavenly Father. There's a reason we sing for 20 to 30 minutes in preparation for the message. It's because many of us, myself included, need a posture adjustment. We need to praise. We need to sing so that we can get rid of the distractions, get rid of what's going on, and become refocused on our Heavenly Father so that we can receive all that he wants to give us. Tonight, night of worship. Before we've called them focus parties, you can call it a posture party. Tonight is all about realigning our posture, praying and praising, so that we are open to whatever God wants for us. Because, last time, we are blessed by God's presence, not God's performance. So if you aren't experiencing the presence of God in your life, I only have one question. What do you need to adjust? What tweaks do you need to make? How can you position yourself? How can you adjust your posture to redirect your focus, to redirect your attention, to redirect your hope, to redirect your trust, not to yourself, not to other people, but to the one who came to rescue as we close. I'm going to pray and we're going to sing. And I pray you spend this week just evaluating your posture. Are you experiencing the benefits of God in your life? And if not, how can you position yourself to receive all that God is ready and willing to give? Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We just thank you for the privilege we have to come to this place and to be in your presence. And we thank you that your presence comes with us. Lord, I pray that you will just fill us with strength, with hope. Give us the courage to look to you, to pray to you, to praise you, to invite you into this moment, to invite you into every moment, so that you can fill us, so that you can give us peace, so that you can give us comfort, so that you can give us wisdom, so that you can give us direction, Father. We know that through your Son, we have the greatest blessing on earth, which is a direct relationship with you. May we never take it for granted. And may we never settle for anything less than the absolute best you we can experience. May we position ourselves. May we adjust our posture. And may we experience the life you died to give us.
See your son's name in prayer.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
It seems like blessings keep falling in my lap.